those of you that might be here for the very first time, my name is Lewis Cayeton. I'm pastor here at Church on the North Coast, and that was, of course, our wonderful worship team under the direction of our creative arts and music pastor, Pastor Leon Timbo right here. Aren't they awesome? I'm standing there so proud of what God has done and the beautiful, sweet spirit that's here this morning, and just wonderful to be able to worship together. I'll tell you that. It's so exciting. It really is. And we welcome you to our almost finished construction project. Every week it's a little bit closer, and we got our curtain up, and there's going to be some more decorations up on the platform. It won't be quite just so, you know, just like it is, but it's going to be great, and we thank you for it, and it's, you know, thank God for what he's done. That's for sure. So anyway, you know, before we get started, can I tell you a little story I read earlier? It's pretty cool. A father and his son were driving along a summer day, and the windows were down. And I don't know if you ever had this experience before, but a bee flew into the car. And when a bee flies into the car, people get crazy, right? It's just a little old thing, but it's like, ah! Well, in this case, the son is allergic to bee stings. So he was like frantic. He was petrified. So the father quickly swooped his hand into the air and grabbed hold of the bee and held it in his fist. And a few seconds later, as the son was relieved, he let it go. And the bee started flying around again. And the son's like, "Dad, I'm allergic to bee stings. What are you doing?" And he got all upset and all worried. And the father said, "Son, relax. Look, the stinger is in my hand. I took it for you. You don't have to worry about it." And can I tell you something this morning? Paul the apostle wrote in his first letter to Corinthians, "Oh death, where is thy sting?" Right? Let me tell you something. His hands and his feet, Jesus took the sting of death for you and me. And we don't have to be concerned about it this morning. Oh, you can do better than that. Come on, give God some praise. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, my. Hey, I got to tell you another story. I don't know. This is a good one. This guy got real sick, and he had to go to the hospital. And so he ends up in a Catholic hospital. And the nurses were nuns. And they're taking care of him and nurturing him back to health. And he finally gets back on his feet, and they say, the nuns gather around, they say, "Do you have insurance?" He said, "No, I don't have any insurance." So "You don't have no insurance. Do you have any money?" And he said, "No, I'm sorry, I don't have any money." He said, "Do you have any relatives that can help you pay this bill?" He said, "Not really." He said, "I do have a sister, but she's just an old spinster. She's a nun." Well, the nuns took offense. And they said, "We're not spinsters. We're married to God." The man said, "Well, in that case, send my bill to my brother-in-law." Okay, look over at somebody and say, "The bill's been paid. Jesus paid it all." Amen? Oh, man, he's paid it all. We want to welcome you. If this is your first time, please take time to fill out a connection card. We're excited you're here. God's got a great plan for your life. Don't let this world or circumstances steal away your hope or the expectancy of good that's coming your way. I'm telling you, this is a season of renewed hope. God has a plan for our lives. I believe that. There's a lot of people in this room that believe it. And most importantly, God knows it. And it's headed your way. I want you to open up your Bible this morning. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. I'm going to read out of the Amplified Bible, so it's going to go up on the screen just in case you don't have that version and you get a little lost. But Romans chapter 8 and 11 says, "And if the Spirit of Him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then He who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore life to your mortal," and I like the parentheses, "short-lived perishable bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." That's a great verse because it speaks to us about hope. It speaks to us of the fact that the Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead, and if he dwells in us, we can experience life. I really believe that the raising of Christ introduced humanity into a new human experience. Life in God can be a new human being experience, because you cannot experience life in its fullest outside of the Spirit of God. Now, let me just say this. There are a lot of people that will say to me, you know, preacher, I just don't believe the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells on me or in me. See, that's the problem with religion. That's the problem with churchianity, if I can use that term. It's that we want the watered down version. We want that version that is not quite what the Bible says it is. In other words, we have difficulty believing the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will also raise us up and dwell in us. Well, I'm here to tell you today, this is not a watered down version of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't stand up here to make any apologies about the Spirit of God, because I believe the same Spirit that brought Christ out of the tomb can live in your life and in my life and make alive things that have died or that are in the process of dying, no matter what they are. Do you believe that? Say amen. Amen. Let me go back to the sting understanding. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is the actual verse. Paul writing, he says, "Oh death, where is your sting?" Now, oftentimes I'll ask my wife, "Where are my keys?" I don't know if you ever have that problem. Keys at night grow legs and arms and walk away. I don't know what happens to them. Sometimes wallets do the same thing. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, I've recently dumped my wallet. I carried a wallet all my life, and I made a transition. I have a smartphone case with a few credit cards in it, and that's my new wallet. I figure, why carry a wallet and a phone when everything I need is in the phone? I'll just convert. So I've been converted. But I want you to know that there are times in our life that we think, what are we going to do? Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? Where is that thing that we lost? And Paul asked the question, where is the sting? He didn't say the sting was annihilated. He didn't say the sting, which is sin, was no longer existent. He wanted them to understand where it is. And just like the father said to that little boy, the sting is right here in my hand. When Jesus went to the cross and was suspended between heaven and earth, the sting of death, sin itself, was laid upon him, so that you and I, who were petrified and fearful of death, can no longer be afraid. That you and I can experience eternal life. Paul goes on to say, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul the apostle was standing before King Agrippa. He was making his defense in Acts 26 and verse 8. He asked the question. He said, why should it be thought incredible by you that God raises from the dead? We say that to a generation today. Why is it thought to be incredible that God would raise someone from the dead? But you can go back to the tomb in Jerusalem. I've been there. I've walked inside the tomb. I like on the outside of the door, it says, he is risen. On the inside, it says, he is not here. I can tell you firsthand, the tomb is empty. I can also tell you, Muhammad did not raise from the dead. Buddha did not raise from the dead. Hare Krishna did not raise from the dead. Come on, somebody. God himself is the only Savior that has raised from the dead. He took the sting for you and for me. So Paul asked the question, why do you think it's incredible that God would raise the dead? I like that, because the Bible says that you and I were dead in our trespasses and sins. Dead men walking around. It's interesting, isn't it? We all think we have life. But really, until we receive the Spirit of God, we don't know life as a human being. We're in a mere existence of survival. And God never called us and created us to survive. He wants us to thrive. He wants us to enjoy the abundant life just the way He has it. That's what Jesus said. That's the reason why I came, to give you life and to give it more abundantly. But let me just talk about that same Spirit again. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead intrigued me, and I had to look into Scripture as to identify and define the same Spirit. And I understood six qualities about the Holy Spirit that you and I need to comprehend today. We need to grasp that this morning and understand the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I'm not here to preach a weakened, watered down version of the Holy Spirit. God is able to do exceedingly, come on, help me, abundantly, above and all you can what? Think or ask. Look at your neighbor and say, that's good preaching. No, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about you. You're the one that's preaching it. That's a great sermon. But let me just share with you that this same Spirit is what we know as a spirit of creation. Say that with me. A spirit of creation. Because in Genesis chapter 1 in verse 2, the Bible said that the earth was dark. The earth had no form. It was void of life. But interestingly, the Spirit of God, watch this, hovered over the face of the waters. And suddenly when God spoke, let there be light, the Spirit of God took the Word of God and created out of darkness light. Let me tell you something about what Paul said to us. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it will make alive your mortal body, your perishable and temporary life here on earth. Listen to me. We always look to heaven as the sweet by and by. But God said it's expedient that I go to my Father that I might send you the Holy Spirit, that He would infuse you with the same life. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, you may be sitting in darkness. You may be void of any substance. You may be wondering what your life is going to end up like. The Spirit of creation. God can hover over your circumstance, over my circumstance, over our lives, our families, our businesses, our money, our health, every aspect of our life. And when the Spirit of creation gets involved, suddenly where there was no hope, I've got hope again. Suddenly where there was no life, I've got life again. It's the same Spirit. Come on, shout that with me. Same Spirit. But secondly, we read in 2 Timothy 3 and 16, the Spirit of Revelation. 2 Timothy 3:16 is talking about Scripture being given by God, inspired by God. And how it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. Know this, that the Word of God was inspired to men, and they penned the very writ of God under the revelation of the Holy Spirit. There have been times in my life where I found myself in very precarious moments, at a quandary as to what to do. But it's an amazing thing. Just like the Spirit of creation can form something out of nothing, the Spirit of revelation can give me understanding as to what to do about a situation that I did not learn, that I did not learn formally, that I was not taught by someone else, but that God Himself infused upon me, just like He infused upon the apostles to write the Holy Scripture. He gives me revelation of an answer in a dilemma in my life. That's why Paul said it's the same Spirit. that raised Christ from the dead. He's going to quicken your mortal body. He's going to help you create that out of nothing that doesn't exist right this moment. But hold on. If you'll put your faith in God, God is able to make something out of nothing. God is able to give you revelation and understanding even with an unlearned mind and you know not what to do. How many are glad this morning that it's the same Spirit of God? Friends, listen to me. You and I don't have to be politically correct for crying out loud. Why are we so intimidated by the world? Why are we trying to include everybody and their doctrine? Why are we trying to keep the boat from rocking? I say to you this morning on this great getting up morning, let's rock the boat. Let's turn over the tables. Let's drive out the money changers. Let's allow God to be God all by himself. He doesn't need any help from you or for me. Isn't that right? God is God all by himself. But listen to this. Isaiah 10 and 27. The Bible said the anointing oil will break every yoke and it'll lift every burden. You know, there are times in our life that we need the supernatural protection of God. Most every day, my wife and I make this prayer. It's kind of like a declaration. Every morning, especially this morning, as we drive from our home to Lorraine and from Lorraine to Valley View and Valley View back to our home or other destinations, we say, Father, we thank you that the angels of God go before us. I thank you, Lord, that there will be no mishaps, no injuries, or no accidents that will befall us. We thank you that the angels will deliver us on time and without delay. We thank you, Father God, that as we drive, angels are running to keep up with us. Sometimes when I board a plane, I'll say this, Father, I thank you that this plane will fly according to its engineering and design. I thank you that it'll arrive on time at its destination and I will fulfill the call of God upon my life. I thank you that whether I'm in 26E or 11B, it matters not because I know this plane cannot go down because I'm on it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's called the Spirit of Protection. The Spirit of Protection. Isaiah 10 in verse 27. Fourth, we understand that not only is this same Spirit, the Spirit of creation, the Spirit of revelation, the Spirit of protection, but it's a Spirit of direction. Look at Romans 8, 14. This is an incredible verse. He tells us in that verse, read it with me, please. For as many led Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. In other words, that Spirit is a Spirit of direction. When I don't know what to do or where to go, the Spirit of God will lead me because I am a son of God. I don't ever have to get up in the morning and throw my hands in the air and wonder what I'm going to do or where I'm going to go. I'm going to understand that the Spirit of direction is able to direct my steps because I rely upon the Lord. I've told this story, but I'm going to tell it again. It's worthy. A number of years ago, we were producing a major production at the Civic Center in our city. We had to build a set. We had no place to build these large panels that would decorate the stage and accentuate the drama theater. So as we were praying, the Holy Spirit spoke to one of our prayer partners. He said, I believe God just gave me a phone number. I said, well, let's call it. So we got on the phone and we dialed. And sure enough, on the other end, a gentleman answered. Hello, he said. I said, well, you're not going to believe this, but we were praying and asking God for direction because we need a place to build our sets. And we're looking for a building temporarily where we can house all of our needs. He goes, that's a really peculiar request. He said, how'd you get my number? He said, well, that's a long story, but I'll tell you that in a minute. He goes, it's amazing because I own some storefront buildings not far from you. As a matter of fact, I don't have any problem renting those to you. Just come down and see me in my office tomorrow and we'll sign the agreement. We actually went ahead, signed the agreement, built the sets inside of his building, later on to tell him, God's got your number. You may not know that, feel that, or understand that today, but let me tell you something. God has got your number. Oh, come on, look at somebody and tell them God's got you covered. God's got your number. God knows who you are. He knows the numbers of hair on your head. I'm talking about a spirit of direction. When we came to this facility, never in my life and my wildest dreams that I think we'd be in a granite warehouse having church. I said, God, you can't make a church out of a warehouse. This was the 33rd building that we looked for in 3 years. Every building we looked at, the most desirable location we thought, closed door. Every arrangement we thought was going to work, the city shut it down. The next one, zoning board, refused it. Obstinate responses by owners. We don't want a church in here. Or, yeah, you could bring your church, but you can only have 25 people in the building at any given time. I said, well, 25 people, the building can seat 500. He goes, yeah, it's not by the seating, it's by the parking. I said, well, can we rent parking across the street? Because there's empty lots there on a Sunday morning. He said, there's an ordinance against that. There was one closed door after another door. But how many know that no matter how many times a door closes, God's got one that the lock has been unlocked. And if you'll be persistent, if you'll just call on the name of the Lord, God will give you the direction that you need. And here we are, some 2 or 3 years later. I don't know how long we've been here. When did we move in? 3 years, 2 years, 2.5 years. I don't know, but here we are. And God opened the door because he knew where we needed to be. It's the same spirit, ladies and gentlemen. You can be assured today that the Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead will quicken or make alive your life. You can get creation operating in your day-to-day life. You can get supernatural protection from the Holy Spirit. Man, I believe I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. I believe that I can walk into a battlefield and not a bullet will come near me. Why? Because I know I've got supernatural protection. I can understand now why my wife would run around and go door to door in the inner city and grab young boys by the scruff of their neck and say, "You need to come to church." I said, "Sweetheart, maybe you ought not to do that. And maybe you ought to go with somebody." She goes, "I don't need anybody. I've got Jesus." I said, "Honey, I know that, but you're a little thing. You're like blonde hair and your frills and all of your dainty and feminine thing. And you don't even look like you're mean or ugly or anything. And you can't do that." She said, "Oh, yeah, I can't. They're just little boys inside, big bodies. I'll just speak to their spirits." Come on, you've got a spirit of protection upon you. You say, "Well, mom and them, they all got cancer. And grandma and them, they got all this." And you know, a doctor likes to go into your history. But you got to tell them, "Look it, my history has been rewritten because I've been raised by the Spirit of God who is able to recreate in me a healthy life and a healthy future." The same Spirit. I don't know what it is about churches who want to water down the Spirit of God. I don't know what it is that we want to denominationalize it. I don't know why we want to make it a religion. I don't quite understand we want to make everybody comfortable. I read my Bible and I find that most people were uncomfortable when they met Jesus. As a matter of fact, I think that if you're going to church and you're too comfortable, Jesus has probably moved down the street. First Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 and 11 goes on to further define the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Look at verse 8. Now we're talking about the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will dwell in you. For to one is given the word of wisdom. I decree and I declare over you today that every person in this room who has the Spirit of God can operate in the spirit of wisdom. Also another, the word of knowledge, same thing for each and every one of us. Claim it this morning and say, "That's mine." Just don't sit there passively. Take hold of it. Don't let the world talk you out of it. Don't let your traditions of your church steal it from you. Hold on to it. Believe that if God said it, it's true, and I believe it. Come on, verse 9. Look at the next scripture. This is an amazing scripture. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Can I declare that right now? Gifts of healings in this house. I don't know if you came in here sick in your body. And if you're not made well yet, you might as well get well now. So I'm just going to pray for you. If you need healing in your body, stand up to your feet. If you need a healing in your body, or your sickness, or there's a disease in your body, or you believe in God for a deliverance in your soul. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will dwell in us and will make alive our mortal body. So I decree and declare by the Spirit of God that you have dispersed gifts of healings. I believe today that my friends are being healed from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. I thank you that you bore the sting in your hands and your feet, and the crown of thorns crushed upon your brow, and the stripes upon your back. I'm grateful today, God, that you are the healer, Jehovah Rapha. So heal now, Father, every person standing in faith in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, I believe it. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I'm talking about a spirit of manifestation. A spirit of manifestation. The manifestation of the gifts of God. The manifestation of the power of God. The manifestation of the provision, protection, creation, direction of God. It is commonplace. It is normal Christianity. It is what we ought to expect. It is not the unusual. Church, we have been sold a watered down version of the gospel. This message is a powerful message that will raise a man from the dead and set the captive free. That's a good place to give Jesus a hand clap. Come on. Give Jesus, hallelujah, a hand clap. Hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, Lord. Let me talk to you about dead people. Now, I know about dead people. I've been around a lot of them. It's kind of freaky, but I've been around a lot of them. I've held them in my hands and they've died. Yes, I have. I've been in a bedroom or a living room and they've died. I went in a bedroom, they've died. Oftentimes I get a call. They say, Pastor, can you come over? And I said, what do you need me for? Well, they just want you to come over and pray. Pray for who? You or the deceased? Because if you want me to pray for you, I'll do it on the phone. I don't need to come over there and just look at your dead husband. But if I'm coming over there to say the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will dwell in you. Now, I've never seen a dead person raised. Not here in America. I've talked to people who have died and we're brought back to life again. That is in America. I've done it in Africa. I've seen that and heard about it and was introduced to people who had died and then been resurrected again. As a matter of fact, you have a dead usher in here. There he is. Come on up here, Fred. Just look at everybody. Just wave your hands. I want you to know that's a dead man walking right there. Look at him. Just come on up here. Yeah. Just do me a favor. Come on up on the platform and just kind of walk back and forth. I want you to see what the dead look like when they walk. Okay, just walk over there and come on. That's a dead man. You say, what do you mean that's a dead man? The testimony is he dropped dead one day and his wife, where's Patience? She's in children's church. I just want you to know that if ever drop dead, bring Patience with you. She prayed and that man came back to life and sucked in air again. Amen. And he's a living testimony, yes, of the fire and the power of God and the Spirit of God. Amen. I'm telling the truth, aren't I?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, I am. Thank you, sir. That's why when you shake that usher's hand, you don't know what you're shaking. I'm going to tell you this. You don't know what's shaking you. What a powerful testimony. I remember when I was about 11 years old, my grandpappy died. He's an old coal miner, couldn't speak a word of English. He's Hungarian, you know. Real gruff guy, alcoholic. Beat up my mother. Put his wife in an early grave. But we were back there in PA one day visiting. We went down to Grandpa's house. We were talking, playing. We went up to the house. My aunt's house was up above on the hill. And we went to sleep. Next morning, I wanted to run down and go talk to Grandpa. So Auntie and myself, we went down there. And then through the kitchen door, we went. And then there he was, slumped up against the kitchen chair. He was dead. He had a heart attack or something and died. And I said, "Ooh, Grandpappy, he's dead." I said, "Grandpappy, he didn't talk. He didn't walk. He didn't look at me. He didn't breathe. He didn't do anything. Now listen to me, this is an important story for you to hear. Back then, long time ago, they didn't take him to the funeral home. They put him in the living room. How many know what I'm talking about? Okay, that freaks out an 11-year-old kid. Let me just tell you, you don't sit in the living room watching a dead man in a coffin. But there I was with my dad, my uncles, my aunts, and we were sitting there and we were watching old grandpapa, and he was in that coffin, and I swear, as I was watching him, I saw him move. I did, I saw him move. I said, Daddy, I think grandpapa just moved. He said, "No, grandpapa's dead." I said, "Well, he looked like he moved." He said, "No, he's dead. He's dead. He didn't move." Well, I was getting real nervous and getting ready to go to bed, and my dad, I said, "Well, how come we're not going to bed?" He said, "Well, we have to stay up all night and watch the body." I said, "If he's dead, what do you got to watch him for? He ain't getting up to walk out. I mean, what's up?" But sure enough, they stayed up all night. I stayed up as long as I could. And numbers of times, I swear, I saw him open his eyes and look at me. I saw him sit up in the casket and go like this. And then back down. It was the craziest thing. I'm telling you the truth. I went up to bed. I was sleeping upstairs. Grandpa is down in the living room, lying in that coffin. And I thought, okay. And I don't know where this came, but I thought when I put my arm or my leg off the mattress, it empowered Grandpa to come back to life. I know that sounds weird, but 11-year-old kid now, okay? So I had my hand off, and I didn't think about it. And it came into my mind, "You just made Grandpa alive." And I saw him in my mind sitting up in the coffin looking for me, getting out of the coffin and coming up the stairs to talk to me. And I went, "Whoo, no, get back." As soon as I'd pull my hand in, he'd go back in the coffin. This happened for years. I think I was probably 14. Well, maybe last year, teen, I finally got delivered. I'm not sure. But I do remember every once in a while, when my arm's off the edge of the bed, I think about Grandpa. I made it a game. You know what I did? I would mess with Grandpa when we went back to Ohio. I'd go to bed at night, and I'd put my arm off, and I'd see Grandpa coming up out of the grave. 6 feet, 5 feet, 4 feet, 3 feet, 2 feet, 1 feet. Coffin open, Grandpa coming out, walking down the PA turnpike, coming to get me. I'd let him get as far as Pittsburgh. Get close to the Ohio line, then I'd pull my arm in, and he'd have to go back. I swear it's the truth. After a while, I got bold. I let him come all the way on my street. He was down my street one day, and I went, "I can't take it anymore." Back he went, right into the grave. But let me tell you something about real corpse. They don't respond. That's not a true story. I mean, it's a true story, but it's not a true happening. It's not factual. Because a corpse can't respond to anything living. Now, let me just share this with you. You and I were dead in our trespasses and our sins. You know what salvation is? Salvation is the object of salvation is passive. In other words, you don't bring anything to the table. It is all God acting upon the corpse. That tells me something about religion. When religion says you have to do this, 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 or this in order to be saved, then you're trying to tell me that a dead man and woman has the ability to come back to life and perform some ritual to get God's approval. When you were dead in your trespasses and sins, you had no ability to respond to God nor life. But that His grace and His mercy found you and me. And the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead came upon you and made you alive in Him. All you and I had to do was to receive by faith the finished work of the cross. And if you'll receive by faith the finished work of the cross this morning, you too can have a new life as a human being. Now, let me talk about the dead a little more. It's a freaky story, isn't it? You're looking at me differently now, aren't you? I was torturing my grandpa for years. The same Spirit that raised Christ, what? Say it again. One more time. That little word "from" is very important. That's a very important word. If you could put the definition up there, because "from" means separation or removal. Now, I want you to get this in your mind. Separation or removal. So "from" tells us we're being removed or separated. But from what? If you go back to the verse, from the dead. Dead literally means this, loss of life. Can you put the definition up? Death means loss of life. Follow me now. Jesus Christ was raised, separated and removed from the loss of life. Why is that essential? Because the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will also raise you and me from the dead. And the same Spirit that separated Him from the loss of life will separate you and me from the loss of life. Now, why is that important to hear? Because there are people this morning that came into this room who have lost some stuff. Lost hope. Lost faith. There are those today that have experienced a loss in their marriage where their partner became unfaithful and walked away and they lost their love. There are others who have lost health. There are others because of tormenting circumstances and situations have lost their breath. Have you ever lost your breath? I remember one time playing football and being piled upon. I was on the bottom of the pile. While all my teammates were celebrating, I was down there suffocating. I was trying to get them off of me because I couldn't breathe. Have you ever taken one to the gut when you get the phone call and you hear they didn't make it? Or you're served the indictment or the arrest warrant, or, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Our society doesn't know what to do with people that have lost and have experienced great pain. All they can do is offer you another Valium. All they can all do is offer you some psychotic analysis and some therapy of some human thought. I don't know how to even explain when a parent buries a child. Because in our society, when a child buries a parent, they call them an orphan. They have a name for that. When a spouse buries their companion, they have a name for that. They call them widows or widowers. But what do you call a mother who's buried her son or daughter? There's a loss of life. There's a loss of happiness. There's a loss of confidence. Maybe you've lost time. Maybe you've lost opportunity after opportunity. Maybe you've lost your joy. Maybe you've lost your peace. Maybe you've lost your purpose. Well, I've got good news for you. Because Jesus, the same Spirit that raised Him up and separated and removed Him from the loss of life, will also separate and remove you from the loss of anything in your life. Apart from Christ, there's no hope. There's no separation or removal from that pain. There's no separation or removal from that anger or bitterness or that resentment. There is no way out. You are trapped and you live with death cloth all around your life, the entirety of your life, and become embittered and become angry and dependent on something in this world to relieve the pain, be it alcohol or be it drugs or be it some other thing. It is to take away the pain, only adding more pain. But the Bible said the same Spirit that raised Christ from, separated and removed him from the loss of life, will separate and remove you from the loss of life. I submit to you today a Christ who took the stinger in his hands and his feet. I submit to you a Savior who understood your pain. So beautifully depicted last night in our drama, by the way, I just have to say, Deborah, that was outstanding. To the cast and musicians, what an incredible production. But when the woman who was playing Grace Crenshaw, the reporter, who had been addicted to Oxycontin, who had been angry all of her life because of her father's abandonment and the abuse by men in her life, finally came to Jesus. And Jesus said, I love you. And she took that bottle of pills and threw it at Jesus. That was epic for me. Not only did she throw the bottle, she threw the top and the lid and hit him in the face with it. And Jesus stood there with his arms reaching out to her. And I got a revelation. You can throw at him all your pain, and he will receive it and give you all his love. I'm telling you today, you can receive his love 100% right now, right here, and right in this moment. Bow your head with me, please. You say, Pastor, I have been in a loss for words, hope, peace, purpose. I've lost time, opportunity after opportunity. I've lost direction, protection. And I need help. I'm saying to you today, there's hope in God. You don't have to be fearful anymore. The sting is in his hand. Jesus simply said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, take my yoke. See, you have been yoked to the loss. And now he wants you to be yoked to his life. You say, hey, preacher, I need that message. I need this direction in my life. Would you pray for me? That's all I'm asking you. If you want that prayer and you want that direction, you want that restoration, and you want to see life the way Christ has come to give it, you simply acknowledge that need by a hand upraised just for a minute all over this room. Would you do it? Would you do it? Thank you. You can put them right down after you've raised them. Come on. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you so much. I want you to look up at me just for a minute. I want you to understand something. This is all about family. Ain't nobody perfect here. We have those certain kind of uncles and aunts around here. We have those certain kind of people in the family that you know how they are. But they're still family. I'm not going to promise you this is a perfect church because we are the furthest thing from it. For crying out loud, we meet in a warehouse. But I can tell you this. We have a Father who defines us by what He said. We have a Father that's more real than the ground we stand on. We have a hope that is more certain than the rising of the sun. And we'd love to adopt you to be part of this family. In a moment, I'm going to ask everyone to stand, and we're just minutes away from dispersing. But I'm going to ask altar ministers to come as soon as we stand, and those of you that raise your hand, we just want to pray for you. Just want to love on you, that's all. We're not asking you to join our church. We're asking you to join the family. We're not asking you to make me your pastor. Make God your Father. That's what we're all about. So are you ready? As soon as we stand, I want you, if you raise your hand, to come out from where you're going to be standing and join us at the front of this altar. Let's do it now. Come on, stand up. Come on, altar ministers, would you come? Thank you, Lord. And those of you that raise your hand, would you come for prayer? Thank you. They're coming. Can we give them a hand clap? Come on. Keep on clapping because they're keeping on coming. Else? Here they come. They're coming. We're giving them time to make their way. Amen. Tina and I and our staff, we just want to say thanks for hanging out with us this morning, this great getting up morning. It's great to see you. If you don't have a church home and want to learn more about the family, just come on back and let us know. We'll be happy to kind of tell you how we do Christmas. Every family has their traditions. How we do Resurrection Sunday. We'd love to incorporate you into some of the celebration. Amen. Would you be kind enough to take a person by the hand and let's pray for each other this morning before we leave? Would you go ahead and pray for that person whose hand you're holding right now? That they would have life, peace, joy. Come on. That they would have purpose. That they would experience the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, the new life of God, till Christ be formed in them, in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a worship song? Now, just break those hands and lift them up to heaven. Let's give Jesus about 120 seconds of worship, 120 seconds of praise. Come on, give Him 2 minutes of glory. Come on, brother. Everybody and pray hard, be friendly and smile at somebody on your way out. Next week, we're hoping that those doors will be open and available in the restrooms down there. We're about that far away from having that thing completed. God bless you. Happy Resurrection Sunday, everybody. Let's continue to worship Him.